Good morning.
Good morning.
A song of thanksgiving and praise from Psalm 138. Let us listen together for God's word. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. May God bless this reading and our hearing. Amen.
So we've got praise music and praise leaders and praise teams and praise reports. We've got the big, bold word praise emblazoned upon our websites and our bulletins and on church banners. We've got praise, praise, praise all the time, everywhere in the church. That's not exactly true, though. I mean, it is true that we've had sort of a cultural phenomenon over the past 30 years or so with the word and concept of praise in American churches, but not so much in this church. Praise is not a word or a concept that we use all that much. The concept and the word of praise is something that we may be a little bit suspicious of here. I mean, I'll just come out and say it, that praise as a word and concept tends to be used in more evangelical churches, more conservative churches, more churches that have movable seats, can you imagine? That have projectors and screens, right? But in churches like ours that tend to be a little bit more liberal, theologically speaking, open and affirming, socially justice-minded, sort of legacy, white-steepled congregational churches in New England, well, we're a little bit suspicious of the word praise sometimes. We like hymns, not praise music. We like to say prayers of joy rather than praise reports, right? So, no, don't get me wrong. This is not a criticism of our culture or our way in this church. I rather like who we are. I rather like the language we use. I like our style of worship. I like the way that we are blending old and new together. Though, parenthetically speaking, I wouldn't mind if we had a nice, professionally installed, discrete projector and screen somewhere in the sanctuary, but that's for another conversation. Renew and Rejoice's meeting this week. But my point is that praise isn't just for those kinds of churches, right? Praise is an ancient practice in the church. It's very much part of our Judeo-Christian tradition, and it is worth exploring and reclaiming for our lives and practices of faith here in this congregation and as individuals. So this morning, let us take some time in conversation with Psalm 138 to explore praise and to reflect together on what it is and what it isn't and why it matters for our life. Let's pray. Loving God, we woke up this morning and we have breath enough in our lungs today to praise and give thanks to you. Thank you for bringing us to this place to break open to your word and through our hearing and through our actions, through our relationships here, to have all of that become beautiful praise to you. Amen. So Psalm 138 begins a series of, I think it's seven psalms, all which carry this superscription, a note at the beginning that says, of David, which is a way of assigning authorship to this psalm, this song, this poem, to King David, who was the second king of Israel, who lived about 1000 BCE. Most scholars agree, though, that it's really unlikely that David actually wrote this psalm, and it was most likely written sometime after the Jewish people returned from exile in Babylon, which was in 537 BCE. So this psalm was written sometime after 537 BCE. Questions of authorship and date aside, though, it's helpful to know that this psalm is broken down into three distinct sections. The first section comes to us in verses 1 through 3, and it's very personal in nature. While the psalmist expresses personal praise, a giving thanks to God with the psalmist's whole heart. The couple of words in Hebrew that the psalmist uses is yadah, which is a great word, primitive, old word, and it means to shoot or to throw or to extend one's hand. Another Hebrew word that's used here is zamar, which means literally to strike a musical instrument string with your hand, and it's translated as to praise with our voice or to praise with song. So we can see in these words and their roots that praise for the psalmist, it isn't about being praise-minded. It isn't about just speaking words of praise. But it's praise as a physical action, right? Putting our whole selves, our minds, our bodies, our whole hearts into giving thanks for what God has done and what God is yet to do. Why does the psalmist praise? Because in verse 2, she says, I praise God because God has been faithful to me. God has loved me, and God has answered me when I've called. The second section is in verses 4 through 6. And if the first section is personal and individual, the second section is communal, even universal, where the psalmist says, yes, I praise God, but praise isn't just reserved for me as an individual, that the whole world should be praising God, from the kings of nations down to the lowliest among us. So praise is an individual act, but it's also a communal, a universal act, that everyone should praise God. In verse 6, I think it's interesting that the psalmist says that praise has a relational component to it, right? That when we praise God, we draw closer in our relationship to God. And when we withhold praise from God, our relationship with God is distant and even strained. All right, so the final section of Psalm 138 in verses 7 and 8, this is so important because the psalmist, in the middle of praising and telling everyone else that they should praise too, the psalmist acknowledges that not everything is perfect. Not everything is rosy. Not everything is well in the psalmist's life. This is such an important praise principle because it means that to give thanks to God, we don't have to put our brains away. We don't have to put rose-colored glasses on. We don't have to lie to ourselves and those around us and pretend that everything is A-okay. But we can praise when things are good, when the sun is shining, when our bank accounts are full, and when our health is good. But also that praise is appropriate when the storm clouds are gathering outside, when our bank accounts are empty, and when we've just received a very difficult diagnosis. So putting this all together then, why do we praise? What is praise? Yadah and Zamar, what is praise? And I think Psalm 138 answers it for us. That praise is a physical and relationship-building act by individuals and communities in good times and in bad of giving thanks to God with our whole hearts for what God has done and what God is yet to do. That's a lot, so I'm going to say it again. That praising God is a physical and relationship-building act by individuals and communities in good times and in bad of giving thanks to God with our whole hearts for what God has done and what God has yet to do. which brings us back to us. I mean, it's great that the psalmist 2,500 years ago praised in that way, and that's what it meant to her, but what about us? I mean, today, why praise? What's the point? What's the purpose? So what about praise? So I have some thoughts for you about why I think praise is important. First, when we praise God, we raise God. You see how that works? Raise is in the word praise. You see how that works? So when we praise God, we raise God. When we praise God and say, God, you're great, you're awesome, you're wonderful, that has a way of reminding us and reminding those around us that even when things aren't so great, that God is wonderful and awesome and abundant. And like we're talking about with the kids today, that God's grace and love and hope and peace rains down with great abundance from the sky all the time. It's so important, I think, in the world we live in. It's no surprise, right, that we live in a world that's skeptical and jaded, right? Lots of doubts and disbeliefs. And more, I think, we believe as human beings that if we just have the right technology and the right financing, and if we just work long and hard enough, that we can build a heaven on earth. But we don't. The headlines are filled with the ways that this is not a heaven on earth. So when we praise God, we resist all of that. We rise above all that and say, yeah, we human beings are good, but God is great, and God is wonderful, and God is awesome, and we need God more than we think we do. Second, when we praise, we not only raise God, but we also raise ourselves. Right? No doubt you've heard the old adage that a rising tide lifts all boats, right? So as we praise God, we raise God who is our tide, and it has a way of lifting us all along with it. There's no magic here. You know, when you praise and you sing in church or at home, you sit in front of the window, when the birds praise God and sing, as Susan allowed us to hear in a little bit, this has a way of encouraging and inspiring us and helping us to look up, sometimes even raising our arms, and it just has a buoying effect on all of us. So a couple of years ago, I was in coffee hour after worship, and there was a young elementary school girl that I knew quite well who was happy and bouncy all the time, but she was kind of sitting sad and sullen alone. She wasn't eating cookies. She wasn't running around the fellowship hall like she normally does. So I went over and I asked her what was going on, and she said, I'm sad. I lost my favorite stuffed animal, and I don't know where she is. But then, before I could respond, and with a great faith for someone so young, she said, but that's okay, God's great, and God will figure it all out for me. Yeah. So off she bounded to grab a cookie and to run around, right? A simple little illustration, but true, a great reminder for all of us that when we praise God, we raise ourselves. Lastly, when we praise, we don't only raise God, we don't only raise ourselves, but we raise other people too. So here's another story. A few years ago, there was a friend of mine, 85-year-old woman, vital, energetic, lived alone, was doing everything all the time, just boundless energizer bunny. But she went in for a doctor's visit, wasn't feeling very well, and got a diagnosis of aggressive cancer with a diagnosis of just a few weeks to live. We were sad and we were shocked and surprised. And so I went down to the hospital to see her, and I get into her room and she wasn't there. But I heard all this laughter coming from down the hallway in the family room, so I went down there, and there was my friend sitting in her wheelchair, surrounded by friends and family, laughing about this time when and that time when. And I knew the family well, I knew her well, and so I said, you know, I'm surprised. I thought I was going to come down here and cry with everybody, but here you are laughing. And my friend said, oh, Pastor. She said, God has been so good to me. I mean, look at this. I've lived a long life. I've had wonderful things happen. I've taken great trips. I've got friends and family that loves me. God has blessed me richly. So why not spend my remaining days here laughing rather than crying? It was this incredible moment. You know, her praising of God, it raised herself, but also it was contagious. It allowed those around her to laugh. Yes, we were sad. Yes, we were mourning, but we were also raised by her. Not only in that time in that family room, but in the days, that weeks that followed, and at her funeral, and as we all mourned after the fact. Right. So, why do we yada? Why do we zamar? Why do we praise God? Because it's a powerful tool that we carry around with us all the time that we can use to raise God, to raise ourselves, and to raise those around us. Let me end with this. We've already talked about how we have a suspicion of the word and concept of praise in our church and in churches like ours. But you know, there's not only one way to praise, right? Some people like to raise their hands and praise. Some like guitar music and drums. Other people like to sit quietly. They like organ music or to take a hike and to praise God in a quieter way. If you ask 10 people how to praise God, I bet you'll get 20 different answers. So let's not get all bogged down in how to praise God, but let's just do it, right? Let's just find ways in our lives as individuals and as a community of faith to find authentic ways to praise God. Why? Because you know, when we praise, we raise. Amen.